Lots of people ask us how we built Carrot so quickly. And you don't see us on the webinar circuit. You don't see us speaking at live events. You don't see us doing all the things that a lot of people do to grow their businesses, especially in the real estate industry, but in the software business as well. And the main way we've grown this business into a, you know, really, frankly, a multiple seven-figure a year business with a great, stellar product, an insanely great team, awesome clients, you know, producing some of the best results in the industry, is with content. And content can be free. Content can be, you can hire people to do content for you. But how do you do it correctly? How do you do it to where it actually builds value for your company and really brings you the clients you want? If you're a real estate investor, how do you go after and do content marketing in your market to completely cut through the clutter so you are set up as the expert in the market that people should work with in your market? Well, we're going to be talking about that today. What if you're not a real estate investor or real estate agent? How should you be leveraging content to really go out there and crush in your business? Let's say you're a plumber, you have another software company. We're going to be breaking down exactly what we do, how we come up with the ideas to do great content. It's all a process, guys and gals. It's not something that comes out of our heads. Okay, it's all a process. How do we then write that content or craft the content if it's not going to be written so it's really effective and it's easy as possible for you, but it's really, really good content that builds tons of value and credibility for you? How do you optimize the content so more people see it, so it gets ranked well in Google, so it gets shared in social media, so you get a lot of engagement on it? And how do you make that content evergreen? Because that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about doing something one time and you know, one and done. We're talking about how do you create content that cuts through the clutter in your marketplace, whether you're local or national, that is there for months, for years, for a long, long time. We have blog posts and videos that we made 2 to 3 years ago here at Carrot that are still ranking really well and still bringing us customers on a consistent basis. How would you love to create some content today or this week or this month and have it bringing you clients, whether it's seller leads or buyer leads or whatever type of business you're in, for months or years to come? Well, I'm going to be diving into that with my special guest today, Aaron Orndorff. And Aaron Orndorff, I stumbled upon him through my cousin, actually, Callie, who was writing for him. And I come to find out, as you'll hear in this Carrot Cast, that he's one of the top content writers and content marketers in the entire U.S. You can find him on all kinds of publications that you've heard of and read: Entrepreneur Inc., Fast Company, Huffington Post, Conversion XL, Copy Blogger. The list goes on and on and on. Unbounce. Guys, the list keeps on going. Okay, Aaron is one of the top SEO and online marketing and conversion content writers in the entire world. We're fortunate to have him on this Carrot Cast, but we're even more fortunate to have him on our team to help us with our Carrot content this year and in moving into next year. So we're just going to have a candid conversation here, kind of going through how we create our content, how you can make it easy for your business no matter how much or how little time you have, so you can finally cut through that clutter. Okay, because I really feel that the main way that people are going to stand out as markets get more competitive is you have to stand out with content, okay? And the way that you do your content is very important. We're going to show you exactly how to do it, give you some exact frameworks, some exact places to find your content ideas. And if you're not a Carrot customer, we help you with this even more when you're a member. If you are a member and you need help with it, use our content marketing system built into the platform or hit us up on our mastermind calls. Okay? Without further ado, guys and gals, here's Aaron Orndorff. We're going to talk about content marketing and hopefully give you a direct action plan to cut through your clutter and crush it in this next year. Hey guys and gals, Trevor here with another episode of the Carrot Cast. And I've actually got on with us today one of our kind of internal team members that y'all have probably read his stuff, but you didn't know it was him or his team doing it. And I'm always really excited to be able to bring on people that we work with to help make us better and to kind of teach you guys how you guys can improve certain parts of your business. And Aaron Orndorff is one of those guys that we're going to introduce you to him here in a second. But just really fortunate to come across Aaron. We'll tell you how here in a little bit. But he lives in Oregon, and it's kind of one of those funny things where you almost look back and go, man, like all these right things aligned, and one of the best content creators I feel in the United States or the world happens to be in my hometown and a couple hours away, and we're fortunate to work with him right now. So we're going to clue you guys in
how you guys can do amazing content marketing in the coming weeks, coming months, coming years, and really cut through the clutter in your marketplace. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about not just content for content's sake. We're talking about cutting through the clutter in your marketplace so you stand out as an expert and people want to work with you. So, Aaron, welcome on the Caracast, man.
Well, fantastic introduction. And let me just say, well, number one, for anybody that actually knows this guy in real life, unbelievably supportive, not just in these face-to-face, ear-to-ear sort of comment chats, but ridiculous. And I mean it. It's standout personality. And second, man, I had no idea you're going to come out with that kind of honesty. I thought I was going to have to dance around like my references to anything I may have written. So awesome.
You're good, man. You're good. And that's one of the things. I mean, one of our core values is transparency, right? And guys, I mean, part of marketing and being an entrepreneur is finding what you're great at. And I'm just life in general. This isn't just marketing entrepreneurship, but finding what you're great at, what your unique ability is, and finding what you're not great at. And if there are certain things that you're just not good at, and we're going to be talking about some of my massive weaknesses on content and how we overcame them, because I think a lot of people listening to this podcast probably have a lot of the same weaknesses I have around content, and they need to find a way through that. But that's kind of the way I look at it, man. It's like, you know what? If we're using a tool or a process or a person or a team to help us make things better, I'm going to tell you guys how we did it. So
that is the heart of content marketing right there. Yeah. That is the heartbeat.
I love it. Well, dude, so before we kind of dive into the meat on content stuff, which I know everyone's probably really looking forward to, I always like to kind of unpack the person a little bit. And so you're living in Klamath Falls, Oregon right now.
Yes. I always tell people, you have no business knowing where I am. Don't worry about it. I'm almost in California. Let's move on.
That's right. And dude, and that's one thing too that I remember it was years ago that I was always kind of like afraid. It's like, man, you know, me talking about where I live, being in a small town in Oregon, we're in Roseburg. It's like, is that discounting the value that I can bring to the marketplace? And I kind of flipped it around and said, you know what? Let me make it a value. Let me create why it doesn't matter and why now we have mission in the area that we are, and it strengthens the story. So now it's like, oh my gosh, that sounds really cool. Instead of, oh, you're from a little town. Well, shoot.
And I'll tell you what. So I took that to social like the last 4 or 5 days and made my first DM autoresponders, which are notoriously horrible. Like if you ever follow somebody on Twitter and you get like the, hey, it's great to meet you, check out our lead, babe, da, 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 da. Nonsense, like it makes me want to leave. So I created an auto DM that just says, that's weird, dot, dot, dot. Why'd you just follow a 30-something white dude in the middle of nowhere, Oregon, question mark? And I have gotten so many responses and people have written back and they say nice things and then it like actually starts a social conversation.
That's cool.
It was, and I can't remember where I got the inspiration from, but it was fantastic. It's been, and everybody, get a good laugh out of it too. It's a great way to talk.
I love it, man. So tell us a little bit about you, what you did before, dude, even up until a few weeks ago, like what was your work? How did you get into content, man? Like that's kind of one thing that I think a lot of people are curious about as well.
So I got a weird backstory. I graduated the degree in English, emphasis in creative writing. I went on to a graduate program in seminary. So I have what's called a Master's of Divinity. I spent a couple of years in full-time Christian ministry up in the Portland area. And then when I was about 30, my life imploded. And a direct result of my selfish choices and resentment and building this bomb that finally, when you do that with life, it has a tendency to go off. Mm-hmm. And I just moved down here to Klamath Falls from Portland. I taught college a little bit up in the Portland area, moved down here for my first full-time writing content job. And that's when, like 4 months into it, everything just, it finally did what it did. And I've shared a little bit about that here and there, what that looked like. It did not look good. Yeah. I mean, not just professionally, personally, every cliche you can imagine. But on the coming out of that, you know, week one, it was, I'm unemployed and unemployable. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And so to create something basically from nothing, like there's nothing better than not having a flipping choice in a situation.
Yep.
Are we doing okay with audio? I got like some weird lag.
It was cutting out a little bit. Let's see if it see if it's okay. Are you good right now?
Yeah, I'm good now.
Okay.
I lost my flow.
Pick it up. Sorry, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Yeah, there's nothing better than not having a choice. That necessity is the mother of invention. And so I knew I could write. I'd done it before. That was my bread and butter as an English major when I went through seminary, even communication and public speaking when I was in ministry. And I took that skill set and just built a website, started a blog, and went from there. And we'll talk about some of the things from there. But that was my very unconventional entry into content marketing, was just that little bit of good. I can do stuff with words. I got no other choice but to do stuff with words now. Yep. So let's do it.
Dude, and it's funny. We, guys, if you're listening to this or watching this, we had a massive rainstorm here like the other last night, and our internet and everything, power and stuff went out. So I'm not sure which side it's on, but if we're having a little bit of technical difficulty, we'll work through it. So bear with us. But man, so I'm trying to think back when you and I first connected, and it was sometime last year. My cousin Callie, a younger cousin who went to OIT there in Klamath Falls, same school that I went to, I knew she was writing, and she's like, "Man, you got to meet this guy." And just kind of months went on. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sure he's good, you know." And then just kind of months went on, and then she goes, "No, you got to meet this guy." And I think where it kind of hit me, and this shows you the power of content marketing. Where it kind of hit me was I said, send me a couple examples of the content that you're doing, Callie. And she goes, well, here's some ones that I kind of did some research on and maybe wrote parts of this or whatever. And I went and checked it out. And it's like this Aaron guy's name on it on like a massive website. You know, it was like Content Marketing Institute or Copy Blogger or something like that. You know, some big websites, Conversion XL. And I'm going, man, so there's this one guy who is on some of the biggest websites in the world in the marketing and conversion and just, you know, online space. And then over the coming months, man, I kept on looking up. It's like, man, I see him here now. And then I see him here. And then he's here. And it's all these amazing places. So I'm going, geez, you know what? That challenged my own assumptions on what content marketing is. Because a lot of us think internally, we think, what can I just put on my own blog? Which that's part of it. It's definitely part of it. But you challenge that. So how much do you feel that plays into someone's content strategies, getting outside of their bubble of their own website?
For me, it was everything. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a little different because I'm a writer, so I want to show that I can write. Mm-hmm. So when I jumped into this, like I said, it was a little less than 4 years ago. I had about, you know, a six-month period to kind of get started and get going. So it was really only about 3 years ago I really started writing. And I went for it after places, like you just said, Copy Blogger. So I ended up getting an entrepreneur first, and I'd love to tell you the story about that because it's a wonderful, like, hijacking the process of getting into a big name. Mm-hmm. But I went to Entrepreneur, Business Insider, Fast Company, Column on Inc., Life Hacker, Huffington Post. I mean, it was just like this explosion over a two-year period of hustle, 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 and breaking through. And like you said, that was the biggest – that wasn't just the biggest for my own exposure and PR and starting to get traffic to my site, but especially like once somebody heard about me and I could just immediately send them to these places, that was the social proof.
Yep.
There was no haggling over price after that, you know?
Yep.
And so it's going to be a little bit different, but I think there's some really smart ways you can do that as a business owner. Let's talk about that a little bit more. You lead the conversation, but that's a great way to look at it.
No, totally. So I'm going to work back to why we ended up working with you. And the reason I'm saying this is, guys and gals, not to hire Aaron, because you probably can't afford him. You probably don't want to pay the fees that he's able to charge and the value he brings right now. But the reason we're saying this, and he's probably too busy too, but the reason we're saying this is because you can find your own version of Aaron or this process that works for you. So for me, I've always been a content marketer. You know, that's something that I enjoy doing. It was something I could do for free. You know, at the start, I could set up a website and just start putting some things on the website and putting content out there. So I started doing that. And it was really easy and really free. Now, the thing is, once I started to get consistent with it and see results, then I started to learn SEO. I'm like, okay, if I'm going to write content, I might as well make it rank for certain things people are already typing in. And that's the first way that I ever started making any real money leveraging the web, was me just sitting down and making simple pieces of content. It was like a video or an article reviewing, let's say, software for property managers or something. Then I would learn how to write it so it was compelling, so it ranked well in Google. I'm like, okay, this is great. So I got hooked by it because I built my first company based on content. Fast forward to Carrot now. When we were starting the company, we're like, okay, how are we going to grow this company? I go, well, let's start with content. You know, let's go out there and find the different phrases people are typing in. Let's create content on the blog. Let's get it ranked there, which this call is not a call on SEO. So you guys can go listen to our other podcasts on SEO. But that to me is where I kind of got the foundation. I saw it worked. I saw it sustainable and it grew. The problem was, are you at Gaucho, man?
Yeah, I am. I'm trying to move nonchalantly.
No, you're good, dude. So guys and girls, if you're watching the video version of this, so we have, if you're on the audio version, head over to our website at carrotcast.com.
And Don't tell them that.
We have one of the things I'm passionate about is entrepreneurs, entrepreneur co-workspaces. It's so cool that, Adam started that over there. But anyway, so that's where my problem came in is once I got consistent with things and it started to work, I'm like, man, my company is growing, but I don't have the time to do all this really robust, big content. And that's where you came in, Brendan came in, processes and systems came in.
Yeah.
And I'd love to talk about some of that. So with you writing as much content as you do, most people will look at that and go, man, I don't have the time. They're saying I don't have the time to write one blog post a month. When they do, we're going to show you guys exactly how you can do it. But how do you manage writing this much content and put it out really, really well? And be consistent with it.
Yeah. So I've got really a three-part process. The first one is I make sure that what I'm writing about is worth writing about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an SEO genius or anything like that, but when it comes to selecting topics and finding keywords and then optimizing for that, what I really look at is what is popular right now. Because a lot of what I write for is guest posts on those big sites. And so what matters is that I know what plays well there already.
Mm-hmm.
And even like competitive analysis. So if you trying to build up your own blog and you've got sort of these heroes that you read, you look at, you listen to, and whatever your niche is, you can do the exact same thing with, say, a tool like BuzzSumo, mm-hmm. which you just plug in a URL or a keyword, and it's going to tell you here are the top posts on social media as they've been shared or linked to from exactly them. And that ensures that I'm off and running then with the best.
Yep.
The number two is, and I shouldn't say this out loud, but we're talking about transparency.
Mm-hmm.
I've written probably 5 blog posts from scratch over the last 2 years.
Yep.
And so that means I make sure I've got the right idea or topic in mind. I know the outline process it needs to be. So here's the hell or the pain that it's going to save somebody from. And here's the heaven, the endpoint, the solution that's going to deliver them unto.
Mm-hmm.
I give it the bullet points or the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kind of thing. And then I hand that off. And that's the second biggest part is I hand off the heavy lifting to a ghost drafter, ghost researcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I am constantly on the lookout, pulling those people in. They give it back to me. And then number three is just polishing it up and getting ready for sending it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that simple first two steps have revolutionized the amount of stuff I'm able to put out, mm-hmm. upwards of like 12 to sometimes 20 articles a month, not like for my own blog, but for those big places we just talked about,
yeah.
Between 700 and sometimes plus 2,000 word posts. Mm-hmm. But just by that three-part process of ensuring I'm writing about the popular stuff, number two, handing it off to somebody else after I've done the initial research, and then just my job is to polish it.
Mm-hmm. Dude, so let me break this down for people. So one of the first problems people have is ideation, right? Coming up with the idea of what to write about. And you just gave a really good tip there with BuzzSumo. Dude, are there any other tips that you can throw out there that completely, let's say specifically for real estate people, that like, man, here's some great ways to get out of your own head and create great topics to write about?
So you're right. Ideation, coming up with the ideas is so difficult and taxing, and creativity is incredibly overrated.
Mm-hmm.
Like I write some creative articles, right? I mean, I really try to come up with these unique ways into it, but that creation process is not unique. Mm-hmm. It's so like when I'm looking for stuff to do, like when I'm working with you guys, I'm going to places like realtor.org, Inman, and I've got a handful of other, you know, top places where I just run to and I'm like, what is working there? Mm-hmm. What is popular there? What are avenues that we could give a different take on that for? So like the core of it is the same, but I've got to change the headline. I've got to usually make it longer. I've got to make it more in depth, but I've just taken off the board the feeling that I have to come up with something amazing. Mm-hmm. I do not. It's all about reverse engineering what's already working. Sick way to do this. Go to Google Trends, click on the celebrity like topic. Mm-hmm. And this is how I got into Entrepreneur the first time when I had no business writing for them. This is how I got into the Next Web. And I am not a tech guy at all. So there's this whole process. I just go there, whatever the trend celebrity is, I'm like the so-and-so version of blank. So first it was the Mindy Kaling guide to entrepreneurial domination. It was the Jimmy Fallon guide to customer love. It was the JJ Abrams guide to intelligent business. And that stuff opened doors like mad. And it's such a fun way to talk about a topic that your audience cares about. And you just bring in what's the topic they care about, what's popular, and how do you create a unique window into that with something like Google Trends mm-hmm. being topic.
Dude, so I'm going to kind of wrap with you here a little bit. So I'm going to pop over to Google Trends right now, and we're just going to do a little test here. Let's kind of bring this home to real estate stuff, right? So Google Trends, and once again, guys and gals, there's a little bit of connection issue on one of our ends. We'll work through it, though. We're good. So I'm going to do, let's see, explore topics. Entertainment. Okay. So here we've got Ryan Reynolds, Bruno Mars is up there, Molly Ringwald. So let's run with Bruno Mars because he's kind of a big dude, and Carly and I are going to his concert here sometime soon.
Oh, I got you. Yep. It's the Bruno Mars guide to branding your real estate business. Mm-hmm. Because I know a little bit about that dude's backstory, and he had this crazy problem where the first time he came out, the company, the record label tried to brand him a certain way, and it flopped. Hmm. And what he had to do is come back out as Bruno Mars, as we know him now, and rebrand himself. And then that was when his true self came through. So, man, so we've got like a cool little narrative to kick it off with.
Yep.
We've got a killer headline that's already trending on Google. We've got things like, you know, what it came down to was his own, had to be his personality and transparency coming through. Oh my gosh, that's a lesson for branding. Mm-hmm. You can't fake it. You can't listen to what other people are saying. You can't try to be something you're not. See, these things write themselves. I'm stealing that. That's going on a Trello board. I'm writing that thing.
I love it, man. And there's all kinds of stuff. So even if we're going to bring it down to local, so if you're a real estate agent or an investor, yes, and you want to kind of catch people's eyes, so like the Taylor Swift guide to I'm just making stuff. This might not be the best, but we're just kind of wrapping here. So like the Taylor Swift guide, she's on this trending thing, the Taylor Swift guide to buying real estate in Roseburg, Oregon, or something like that. It's like anyone in Roseburg is going to see that if it's floating around on social media, and they're going to go, what the heck? And what's going on here? And they're going to read it. But they might not read a post that says the guide to buying real estate in Roseburg, Oregon.
Exactly. And it can't be clickbait. And that's the thing where you have to really tie it to lessons, which is what I try to do with every single one of them. But then you get this whole, especially when you're going after personalities or names, it just immediately lends itself to telling a story with it and illustrating it in ways that people see and identify with. That's so much richer than just the same 10 lessons they've heard before. Because honestly, man, it can be the same 10 lessons if it's presented in a fresh way.
Yeah. Dude, so let's do the Buzz Sumo one now. So you mentioned Buzz Sumo. We use that quite a bit on our end on the content that we do. And I've got some other content ideas that we'll throw out there as well that I'll kind of wrap with you. But so you mentioned Inman.com, right? So,
oh, yeah.
And that's one of the biggest real estate websites out there, especially specifically for agents. Mm-hmm. Right here. So the number one one when you type in Inman.com on Buzz Sumo is 10 reasons you should never buy or sell without an agent. And it's got 11,000 Facebook shares, bunch of stuff, 5 reasons homeowners should list their homes today, 7 home fixes you must complete before selling. If you were to see this and you're writing a blog post for a high power real estate agent, wherever, kind of what would jog your idea bank just on reading this?
I mean, tell me what the first one again. It was
10 reasons you should never buy or sell without a real estate agent. And it's most popular by far. It's like by 80%.
The dark side of for sale by owner would be my headline. Mm-hmm. And what I find out is, okay, so I've got here, I'm definitely going to link to that piece because it's already popular. And so I'm going to hit them up on social when I do post the piece and hopefully I can get Inman to share it as well. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to find similar pieces that are already ranking in Google. And yeah, it's that idea is there now. It's like, okay, I throw that down as I know what the core of it is. And now it's the dark side of for sale by owner, mm-hmm. or what nobody ever told you about for sale by owner or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I love it, dude. So there's a million different things I could be talking about on ideation too. I'm gonna rattle off a few more here, and then if you have some things, throw in there, and then I'd like to move on to that second step. So let's say you got the idea, and then how do we put it to paper? So a few of the things that we do here at Carrot, and we suggest our clients do as well, is pull back and what are the top 10, 15, 20 most common questions your prospects ask you? And
yes.
Write those things down, and I like to do video, so we'll do a lot of video. You can do writing, whatever it is, but use these ideas to come up with something that's compelling, you know, because if you just do a piece of content that is, you know, how do I get a home loan or whatever? It's like, well, no one's really going to read that, but then use these ideas Aaron's given you to really spice it up and give it that oomph.
And a great way to do that is you find those popular articles, the next step then is I click through and the first place I go is to the comments. Mm. And anybody who's asking a follow-up question there, that is there's a weak point that is so ripe for fleshing out that idea. And then you're not coming up with it yourself. You're like letting the market, you're letting what people are saying answer that for you.
I love it, dude. I love it. Another thing that we'll do oftentimes is we'll go to Google and start typing in phrases of whatever it is that our market might type in, look for Google suggestions, or you can use Uber Suggest, as I'm sure you've used a lot.
Uber Suggest is great. Yep.
And we come at it a lot from the SEO side of it, because, you know, we really focus on the SEO side, but if you can make it so it's got, you know, really well optimized on the SEO side, but also then really well optimized to get shared and to be compelling, that's where it's like best of both worlds. So we'll use that quite a bit. And then another one that we use quite a bit, for our content is we'll dive into our website. We'll look at our analytics and we'll see what's popular already. And you helped us with that too, because you beefed up a massive post of ours that was already popular and made it better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really low hanging fruit, especially if you've had a site for more than a year or two, mm-hmm. whatever your most popular one was, you can refurbish it. You can add to it, especially with images and updating the statistics on it. Leave it as the same URL. That's like one of those tricks, and simply change the pub date on it and give it a fresh round of whatever your regular promotion is, whether that's on social or any sort of paid. But because it's already proven itself on your site. People are interested in it. So let's just make it better. And that's so much what it comes down to for standing out and getting more bang for your buck with content.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So there's a few tips for you guys right there. And I'm sure Aaron's got a download somewhere online that can help you guys with some other stuff. We'll let you guys know how to connect with Aaron to get some good resources for him as we go. So the next thing, let's say you got your idea. You've maybe started to bullet point it out. Hey, here's some of the things I think we should cover, things like that. Dude, what do you suggest people do? So you have a little stable of writers right now that help you with that. But if someone didn't have one right now, where would you suggest they go? What should they look for in a writer that could help them if they're going to have a writer help them, if they're not going to do it themselves?
If you have any sort of existing email list or social media following, mm-hmm. throw it out there that you're looking to hire somebody to help you write. Mm-hmm. I do that all the time, and I get, you know, replies back in off social from different like niches and genres and all that kind of stuff. That's like my first place I go, is I just throw it out there. I'll pay you, and then that's sort of where I leave it, and then like fill in, you know, what it's going to be next. Mm-hmm. Then that's there's people in your world. There's people in everybody listening right now's world who are wannabe writers who would jump at that chance. Mm-hmm. They are there. They're waiting in the shadows and just they're chomping at the bit for somebody in their world to ask them about it, and they're going to be off and running. You've got them.
And dude, I think people would be surprised, like you're saying, how many people are out there looking to do that. We here with Carrot, we were looking to beef up our writers stable for our clients, because we have some services for our clients to help them with writing certain things, rewriting the copy on their web pages and things like that. And dude, we were looking all over certain websites, and I said the same thing. I'm like, let's just email our list and then take them through a qualification process. We got about 50 or 60 people to apply.
Right.
And then we whittled it down to three now. We've got three great writers who were not – one of them was doing it professionally. The other two weren't. But they're like really consistent and good.
Yeah. So, and that's all you're looking for is just consistent and good and somebody that'll deliver and take that lion's share of the work of turning from the idea and topic, the outline, into something that you can then edit. That is the hugest time saver for me. Mm-hmm. It massive on that front.
So how are outsourcing websites for you? Have you had any success finding people on like guru.com or Upwork or anything? Okay.
No, never.
Cool. So let's move beyond that. So you've got the person, or you're going to do it yourself. Kind of how do you feel that is the easiest way that someone can lay out an effective blog post or piece of content?
Yes. Okay. So let's go through, I don't know, let's four steps. Mm-hmm. Number one is know the heaven and hell that your article is going to address. And this is the way that I phrase it with clients. It's the way I phrase it in my own head, the way I work with writers, is there's some pain, there's some need, there's some shortcoming, there's something that's bugging, that's making your whoever's going to read that post fearful about this subject. That's mm-hmm. the hell. And the idea is, here's you and what you know is wrong. It's actually worse than that. And mm-hmm. here's the data that shows it, or here's the story that brings it to life or illustrates it. Mm-hmm. So you're building identification first, and then you're amping up that hell idea. So it's emotional and it lends itself to story. And then what's the heaven? What's the outcome? Like, to overcome this problem, we're going to blank. Mm-hmm. Right? And you'll see this. Like, if you look at my pieces, thoroughly unoriginal formatting when it comes to like the structure, because it works, because that's how people think. Mm-hmm. So I start with the heaven and the hell. Number two is I go to those posts that I've looked at before, and I'm just scouring them for, all right, what are the best? Is it 5 points? Is it 4 points? Is it 7 steps? What's the process that's going to be the skeletal structure of the post? Mm-hmm. So if I'm writing something about emails, like abandoned cart emails, I got to figure out, okay, what are the 6 type of abandoned cart emails that should roll out? And I want to find examples for those. I think in these structural terms as much as I possibly can, so that I get that bullet, those numbers down. Mm-hmm. That's the second step. The third is then I jump into the research. And I let the research inspire me and inspire my writer. So again, I'm not having to start from scratch. That research can be simple Google searches. It can go into places like Forrester. Any sort of great repository of data is excellent. And it just matters that that what you're finding, that's where the ideas and the what sounds original when you finally put it on paper but thoroughly isn't come from. Mm-hmm. So I've got the problem solution, heaven and hell. We've got number two, what's the bullet points numbers that are going to be in it? Number three, what's the research? And then number four, and I'm a stickler about this, is I have to know in the end what's the, and it's even better.
Yep.
And this is a part that a lot of people will neglect, and you'll read this in articles where it just sort of, you know, it tapers out. Because if you can give me something at the end that you're saving for last, the best piece of idea, that blends so well into then a call to action to connect with you. To either come to your site in like a guest post byline, to download something, to join the email list. But it's that like last moment of delight that then sort of tips somebody in. And it's one of those things that I hate to say out loud because I don't want to tell other people how to do it, but it's fantastic when you focus on that conclusion and the feeling of delight.
I love it, man. So next time I want to kind of talk about the promotion of the content, right? But give me a couple minutes here, because one thing that popped in my head is I can totally picture some people listening to this going, man, you know, this type of content that we're talking about is not your quick get it done in 15, 20 minutes kind of piece of content. And I want to make sure that people realize that there are different types of content for different purposes and needs.
Yes.
Right. And the type of content that we work with you at, and I'm sure you're great at other kinds too, it's just kind of the kind that we engage you with, is that long form, great, thorough, detailed content that's a resource that stuff gets ranked really well, gets shared really well. It's something that becomes massively useful for someone. And for us, in our mindset, we're like, man, this helps to set us out as the expert in the space for this, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one type of content. Another kind of content that we fill in with here at Carrot, I mean, the podcast, like the reason we're doing podcasts is because I am a bottleneck on content. Like I said before, I would be getting my content in late. We would not be getting it done. And I'm like, shoot, let me just do what I'm good at. And I can sit here and show up to something and talk for half an hour, an hour, and I like it. And so that for us is another piece of content every week. Another thing that we did internally, and I suggest for people who are comfortable on video and want to do it, do something similar, especially real estate agents and investors, is in the moment, whenever we get questions from people, and it's just one that like I can just hop in front of the camera and explain. We happen to be doing it with a whiteboard behind us. But if you're a real estate agent and you're out there in the field, and as an example, we bought a house this summer and it's on the river, and there were a lot of issues that were going on with the purchase that I'd never bought a house on the river before, but our agent had, and his parents had a house in the river and he'd sold other ones. And he was going through, hey, you got to look at this, make sure you look at this, and helping us with this. I'm going, damn, I talked to him about this about a month ago. You should have had your phone out the whole time and said, yes. Hey, you know, I'm down
capture
here.
That.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah. Like, I'm down here, you know, on the North Umpqua River. And if you're looking at buying a house on the river, well, I'm going to walk you through five things you need to look for and like walk them through and show them those things.
Yes.
It would have crushed it. So those are kind of the things that we look at. It's come up with your own content pillars, we call them. You know, one of our pillars is podcast. So we fit that in, we get it processed and systemized, we do it. Another one is our whiteboard videos. We have a spot where we get questions from people. We choose which ones are the best. We have a very good process to get it. I walk in there, draw the darn thing, walk back out, and I film four sessions. I'm in there for 45 minutes, I'm done, instead of for 4 days writing content.
Yes.
And then the last one is this long form content that Aaron and his team are so good at, that are really, I think everyone should be doing this, but it shouldn't be everything you do, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it'll burn you out, and mm-hmm. especially if you're thinking you're going to do this on a multi-weekly basis. Yeah. When I talk with especially people I'm just giving advice to that I know, I'm like, shoot for one of these bad boys a month, mm-hmm. maybe every other month, and then everything else is stream of consciousness blogging. It's sharing, you know, being genuinely engaging on social media as well. Mm-hmm. Facebook Live is fantastic for the kind of stuff you were just talking about. And then you can capture it and actually put it up as a static thing on your website. Mm-hmm. So there's all these great ways to, as inspiration comes, capture those things.
Mm-hmm. And do one thing I would say too, that pops in my mind is, I love your take on this, is people always, it's the number one thing is people don't know what to write about. Like I said, number two is they don't have the time. And I'm like, guys and gals, so we all watch those reality shows on TV with the house flippers or the agents or, you know, whatever, you know, Mike Rowe or whatever. And those people look at them, it's like, well, yeah, they're on TV. And I'm going, guys, you guys are creating content every day. You're just not recording it. These people just happen to have a person walking behind them with a video camera. Now, they're recording their content, you are not. So it's not that you don't have time. It's that you haven't set the system and process to record the content you're already creating.
Yes. And I'm guilty of this myself. I've been doing a lot of one-on-ones with people to coach them to do that kind of stuff, to get on the entrepreneurs and the business insiders mm-hmm. and those sort of places. And a lot of people have reached out to me. And so I've been doing this kind of thing. And I think I wrapped up my 10th or 12th and I was like, why am I not recording this?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this one-on-one? This is insane. Like, yeah. And then just – so yeah. And if you're out there in the real estate world, if you're an agent, if you're an investor, you're sharing that expertise with somebody, record it for posterity. You'll mm-hmm. do something with it.
Dude, even on your end, I mean, I could totally picture with those clients that you're working through and the ones you will work through, you end up having 5, 6, 7 videos where you're like walking through, hey – case study, here's what we did with this person, you know, for privacy, maybe you don't say their name or whatever if they don't want you to. But by the end of it, man, you've got a course you could sell or a whole email sequence that you can drive people to.
And that's the other thing about content is that whole idea of what you just described, repurposing. Mm-hmm. Do not – one and done will murder you when mm-hmm. it comes to creativity and actually, you know, building things. One and done is terrible. When I write a long post, I'm going to turn that into, you know, sometimes each one of those subpoints becomes its own shorter post mm-hmm. Somewhere else or on my own blog. Or if I write it, then it becomes an email sequence that I can use for, you know, it's just, there's so many places to go once you've done work on it. Do not let it be one and done.
Dude, so this is a good transition. So in order to, so we've got the post written now or the video or whatever the heck it is that they created. They have some ways now to ideate, and hopefully you guys took notes on that. How do we get more people to see it? Because most people, they kind of post their content in a vacuum, right? It goes in their blog and they think, okay, check the box because I put my content out for the week. Now I'm going to go back to my life. And then they look back in 6 months and go, this content marketing thing doesn't work. So what are some ideas to actually make that post or that piece of content work for you perpetually, ideally, like you said, so it's not one and done, but what do you do to make sure people see the darn thing? What's your promotion?
So, content is not a single player sport. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it alone, you're doing it wrong. And so like pretty much everything I write, nearly everything I write is with other people. I'm asking them for their, you know, contributions. I'm asking questions of people and I'm working my way sort of like up the scale. So they're bigger than me, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So I've got an immediate army of people who will help me promote it when it's time to go. Mm-hmm. That's a big piece of the puzzle right there. And the fantastic thing is, so I do this with marketing pieces. I just had a piece go up on Content Marketing Institute, which is arguably the biggest content marketing site online. Mm-hmm. Went up on Sunday, and I approached it. It was this massive, like 50 influencers, their single best tool. It was almost 4,000 words. It was just a beast of a post and took some work to put together. My editor emailed or Facebook messaged me the next day and was like, this thing is blowing up. They'd already got 1,800 shares.
Oh, wow.
Within 24 hours. And now it's the – I think it's the seventh most shared article of their entire last 12 months. Wow. And it's been since Sunday. and so now that sounds like something, you know, I have all these things I do along with it. I'm part of Slack groups. I put it on Facebook. I reach out to friends. I'll tell you that goofy autoresponder I had, why'd you just follow a 30 something white dude? Mm-hmm. Guess what? You know, everybody who wrote back and said something nice to me, I'm like, hey man, if you're up for it, can you check this out? Like, it's like one human asking another.
You're hustling, man. Hustling the content. I love it.
So, here's the thing. This is the really wonderful part. That sounds like something that works really well in marketing. It is the exact same in whatever niche you're in. Mm-hmm. So I did a piece for a client about a month ago where it was a property management software, which sounds like the least sexy idea in my life I could think about.
Yeah.
And so we just spent time cultivating and reaching out by email to real estate agents, to dreamlist people on Twitter who are real influencers in that space. We accumulated about 20 different responses of what you should look for and what you should look out for when it comes to selecting property management software. Mm-hmm. We put it all together. We tagged every single one of them. We put a picture of them in there. And it's like the biggest thing on their social, you know, that that's attracting traffic and you talk about promotion, that's happened. Mm-hmm. And it's the same exact process. Yeah. Of just that collaboration idea. And the other thing is too, collaboration on the promotion side, you've got to be cultivating just friendly relationships where you're doing nice things for other people. This sounds so basic.
Yeah.
If you're an insanely nice person, you know, in those Facebook communities, on Twitter, on Instagram, and you're sharing other people's stuff all the time when it comes to launch yours, it's super cool to ask for it, mm-hmm. to just – yeah. And know the collection points too, whether it's Reddit for you or if there's other sort of hubs online where your market congregates, mm-hmm. building relationships there. And then when you post the content, making sure it goes up there as well. This went up on a place called Inbound and Growth Hackers when I posted the CMI article, mm-hmm. and burnt it down there as well. And it's just like this sort of snowball effect.
Gotcha, man. So same thing. I'm going to kind of roll this back a little bit,
yeah.
and make it make sense for even someone who's just getting started or someone who's already doing content, they really, really want to ramp it up. So like you're saying, find those other people that are in your center of influence or even people that you want to be, reach out to them, be friendly with them, build connections. A great way, like you said, to build connections with people higher than you in certain spots is to make them a resource in a piece of content you're writing, like you mentioned. So now you've got the connection. Likely they'll share it on their social media because, hey, look, I'm included in this article kind of thing.
Big time.
So that's going to help you guys get some backlinks, possibly. It's going to help, mm-hmm. you get some good momentum, relationships with people, and create content. Repurposing stuff. So is there anything that you guys do? I know you mentioned you might take a blog post and break it down into several different blog posts that are smaller. Is there anything else you'll do for repurposing content sometimes?
Yeah, the breakdown is a really good one. Best versus worst is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I'll post best practices on my site, and then I immediately turn around and do the opposite of that for a worst practice article for someone else's site.
Gotcha.
Which is really fun because then I get to be all tongue-in-cheek and I comment about it and like have a sense of humor. That's a really easy way to do it as well.
Yeah.
And then the third is oftentimes as I'm writing as well, you know, questions that I can't answer will come to mind. And so I'm constantly collecting that. And so it's not so much repurposing, but I never want to let any of that go to waste. Mm-hmm. Like you've got, whether it's Evernote, Trello, your favorite Moleskine journal, or even just talking into your phone, it's going to blow you away. If what people, all they do is walk away from this and start a capturing their ideas process, just like you talked about with video or whatever it is, it's going to blow you away how much is in your mind that you're missing out on,
mm-hmm.
because you're not grabbing a hold of it when it pops in.
Dude, and we kind of touched on it a little bit ago, but I think people are kind of afraid. They want to make it perfect, right? They're like, man, I'm going to sit down. I want to make this thing amazing. It's going to take me several hours or days or whatever it is. And like you're saying, man, it's just, I think the biggest thing is we need to be useful and we need to stand out.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, you've seen that. What was the Chris Rock movie where he dies and he comes back to life and he's like reincarnated as, yeah. And there's this great line in it where he talks about nobody wants their comedian to be good looking. They just want him funny. I think that's like such a great summary. Nobody wants you to be good looking.
Yeah.
Nobody cares how good looking your post is. They just want it to be useful.
Yep.
That's all.
I love it, man. So a couple things we'll do on repurposing. And same thing, everyone needs to kind of find their little thing that works for them, their processes, their systems. And one thing that we'll do is our blog posts that tend to get really good traction will then turn into a video. You know, that could turn into a whiteboard video. It could turn into a podcast or something like that. So we're always taking those topics that work well. We turn it into a YouTube video, optimize it for the same or very similar keyword phrases. And now we've got two there. Another thing, dude, this is working really well for us. So we didn't invent it by any means, but it's working well. And we're going to be finding ways to build this into our software to make it easier for people here this next year. Mm-hmm. But I love video, right? So we're always trying to go, how can we streamline our stuff? And if I can sit down and do a 5-minute video and be useful and actually be consistent with it, that's awesome. But then I'm like, okay, well, cool. It'd be cool if I could actually have that video help us rank for something on my website, because just putting a video on a blog post isn't going to do much for you. Mm. So we send it through rev.com, just a transcription service. It's the best one we found. As soon as we get the video done, upload it, we give them the URL. Within hours, we get back a transcription. It's really good transcription done by a human being, and they take out all the ums and ahs and transitions. We then just take that transcription, copy and paste, and put it on a blog post.
Yes.
Video on top of it. And then Brendan on our team, which you guys can hire this part out to an editor on Upwork or something like that, upwork.com. Yep. But Brendan just takes the darn transcription and makes it look like an article, about 15 minutes, put some subheads there, break the sentences apart, put a couple pictures in there. And now it took me 5 to 8 minutes to do that content, took Brendan 15 to 20 to edit the transcription. So total, we're under 30 minutes in total time. And now we have an amazing article with robust content in it, a great video that's up on YouTube as well. And it didn't take us hardly any time at all. And you've got written and video content.
You guys are multimedia geniuses. It's fantastic to listen to, man. Really. I'm a carpenter, so I see everything as a nail, right? It's like, yeah. I'm a writer, so everything needs a pen on it. And I love the way you're like blowing this up. There's so much more.
And one last thing that we'll do, so I'll add this last layer to it. And I know you and I have a phone call actually with our content team here in a second.
Yeah, practice what we preach.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Practice what we preach. So one other thing that we'll do is we take it to the next level. We go, okay, so if this is working, then for some posts, not all, and this stuff, guys and gals, if you're listening to this going, oh my gosh, I can't do all that. That's not the point. Pick one thing to start with and then build systems and improve as you go. We're 3-4 years into it. But mm-hmm. we'll take some of our best posts and turn them into slide shares then. So we might have a big, long blog post. We'll turn it into 10, 15, 20 slides, upload the slide share, optimize that. And now with that process, we've taken one effort of content, turned it into 3 to 4 pieces. And oftentimes we're ranking, we will oftentimes have 1, 2, 3, or 4 of our content pieces ranked on page one, oftentimes the top 6 for the same search phrase. So now we're controlling the conversation.
Oh, yeah. And what you said in the middle of that was so good. If someone is starting out, when you said in the middle of that of just pick one, yes. Mm-hmm. Do not let any of this overwhelm you. The worst thing that you could do is walk away from, you know, listening to something like this thing. Oh, there's so many moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
Pick one. Whatever one just feels the best to you, is most natural for you, and roll with that for 6 months on a regular schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start creating that traction, that momentum, and it builds so fast.
Exactly. And kind of here's what I would suggest, and love your take on it before we wrap this up. But if I were to tell someone, if they're in real estate or if they're a plumber, it doesn't matter, you know, what they're going to do for content is probably start out, if you're comfortable in video. This is just me, because probably it's me because I am comfortable in video, but a lot of people aren't, understand that. But whip out your phone and once a week do a Facebook Live on the job. Right. So you're a plumber, you're on the job there, and there's this issue. 5 minutes, you whip it out and, hey, you know, this is Bob the plumber. I'm down here on a job and it just rained a lot and this happened and this, and I'm sure, you know, I'm not sure if this happened to you, but let me show you this. Oh, that's nasty, isn't it? Like have some personality. And then you take that and have someone on your team, or that Bob the Builder, Bob the Plumber does it when he gets home. He takes that darn Facebook embed thing or downloads the video and then he puts it on his own website. To start out, no written content at all. Like that's what I would do. After a month or two, man, now you've got those videos. You submit them to rev.com and then you just put the damn transcription below it.
Yeah. And
within 3, 4, 5, 6 months, your website now, whenever someone lands on that website, dude, there's no way they're not going to work with you.
Yes, because it looks so robust.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those where you glance at it. And the same way that, you know, I want people to glance at my homepage and see that line of publications that have been nice enough to let me write for them and the robustness of what I have. And you're right. It just creates this instant aura, this instant credibility. Mm-hmm. And you've built it organically yourself.
Yep. And then maybe once you're, like you said, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months in, if you want to ramp it up, you start to do the longer posts where they're a resource once a month or once every 2 months. And then not only now are you the personality person, you're teaching people, you're useful, you're consistent in your content, but then you've got some really core pieces of content that are amazing pieces of content. And just go from there. I mean, what advice would you have for someone who they're ready to start doing content marketing and they're like, you know, where should I start? Kind of what would you say?
You know, I absolutely love the description you just gave. I'm going to steal that and act like it's mine when I talk to people from now on, of on the job. Mm-hmm. That's such a fantastic, I'm so used to working with agencies and larger, more like enterprise-ish type things that's never like a part of it because there's very few actual personalities involved. But to start, if you haven't done anything, that's brilliant. The other piece I would say is if you are going to start with written content, that process we jumped into at the beginning. Find out what's already working. Find out what's popular. Use the tools that are at your disposal. And Google Trends and BuzzSumo both have free versions of them. You can use them right away. That way, you know what you're jumping into is going to be valuable from the start.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I love it, man. Last question here. We're going to wrap it up. So I know you're making a transition into being an entrepreneur, man, which is exciting as heck. Dude, what are you most excited about and what are you most scared about over, let's say, the next 12 to 24 months with the move you're taking in your life and business?
What I'm most excited about is even over the last few days, I finally had that first taste of everything else is off my plate except this.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of energy I can put into it now, you know, with, connecting with new people, getting new clients in the pipeline just in like a 2-day period is beautiful. It's just like lighting me up. So I'm really excited about actually having that freedom and that time and the energy to see where it goes. What am I most scared of? Failure. I mean, what do you say?
Yeah.
I'm scared that everybody's going to leave me. Nobody's going to publish any of my work anymore. I'm going to get blacklisted. And then it's going to be this giant sign to everyone in my life that I was always worth nothing.
Oh,
and
man.
Here's the proof. No, I mean, let's get existential and serious. Yeah, like, yeah. This thing holds people back, right? It is. It's like some legit fear. Mm-hmm. And having a stable of clients lined up for me helps with that. But I don't know any other way to deal with it except just embrace that thing and say, so what? Like, all right, man, let's go make a train wreck out of it. This is going to be fun. And then just hang on and keep running like it doesn't matter.
That's the thing, man. It's embracing. It's very cliche, but it's so true. It's like embracing the journey rather than you know, having your eyes set on that horizon, which always changes. You know, if you're always comparing yourself against this ideal out there, that horizon, closer you get to it, it's going to change. Now there's going to be a new one. So the way that I protect against that, and also my good friend and works out of here, Seth Buechli, he just wrote an amazing book called Ambition. We had him on the podcast a little bit ago. Amazing entrepreneur. I built up his last company at almost $60 million in revenue and just sold it this year. And one of the things that he talks about in there is that exact thing that, you know, man, if we're comparing ourselves against this ideal or we have these goals and the closer you get to that goal, a new one pops up, it's really hard to be happy and content. But if you can kind of pull back and just really enjoy that journey, be grateful as heck for what we have right now and be excited about the journey that we're on, no matter what.
Cultivate that gratitude like it's a discipline, like you're doing push-ups in the morning to work that muscle out.
Dude, I love it. So I'm on your website, and I just saw on the homepage you have an amazing checklist there. So if you don't mind, guys and gals, go to Icon eContent, so I-C-O-N-I, content.com, iconiccontent.com, or just look up Aaron's name. You'll find it there in the show notes. If this is go to carrotcast.com. But he has amazing, amazing ultimate content creation checklist that you guys can get for free. And before you hire a copywriter, before you go out there and start to do your own content, make sure you have a framework, make sure you have a process, a system. Hopefully you guys got some great stuff on this call, but go to iconiccontent.com and get that checklist for free and just dive in and see what, see the way that Aaron writes, because you guys can learn a lot from what he's doing and get a great free resource there. You have any parting words before we go, man?
Go out there and get rejected.
I love it. Well, thanks, guys. Have an amazing rest of the week. We're going to come at you with another episode of the Carrot Cast next week. And please go and, like I said, share up this episode. Go find some of Aaron's content online and share the heck out of it. And help more people see his gift in this world, guys and gals. And go out there and get your gift into the world to more people with your content. We'll talk soon. Have an amazing week. So hopefully now you realize that you have zero excuse to not carve out and really invest time into becoming the market and content leader in your market. I mean, like I said, guys and gals, it's all a choice. Okay. So if you're wanting to grow your business, either you are going to become the expert in your market or someone else is. Okay. And it's not like you can only have one expert. Okay. There can be multiple experts in a market. You guys each kind of taking your niche and each building up your brand. But the way that that's going to happen in 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020 is with content. Okay. And the way that you do it is not just putting out a little blog post here or there. It's being really strategic with your content, just like we mentioned here. So what I'm going to call you to action on right now, guys and gals, is in this time of the year that you're listening to this right now. The time I'm recording this is in December, toward the end of the year. If you're listening to this at another time during the month, during the year, awesome. It doesn't matter what time of the year you're listening to this. But especially right now, it's a great time to sit back and plan what you want to be cutting through the clutter for in this next year, what you want to be the expert in your market this next year, okay? And then set a goal to do at least one piece of content per month at a minimum. If you're not doing one per month, it's going to be really hard to cut through the clutter, okay? And then slowly work your way up as you improve your systems. Get it to one per month, one every other week, one per week, one or two per week. And the thing is, like I said, the most important thing is if you feel kind of burdened or overwhelmed by, oh my gosh, I can't do what you guys are doing, I can't do this, you totally can, because you are creating content today, whether you know it or not. If you're making offers, if you're looking at properties, if you're doing whatever you're doing in whatever type of business you're doing, property management, okay, you are creating content every single day. What are those situations that you're going through that can provide value if you actually record that situation and share it with other people? Okay, if you're a property manager, could you record a situation where you can show people how to best improve their chances to get accepted for a rental if it's a tight market? Okay, show them what a good application looks like. Show them what a bad application looks like. Okay, show them how to crack through and become a great tenant. Put that video online, 5-minute video. Put it on your website. Like we talked about, if you really want to go balls to the wall with it, get the transcription over there from rev.com and then post it and share it up and make sure you have it optimized for phrases that people are typing in. Use our simple Google search suggest hack just as the simplest way to do it. Okay, and get it to one per week, and I can guarantee you within a year, within 6 months, you are going to see some massive, massive momentum building. That's what we're talking about with content marketing, guys and gals. It's not immediate. It's a momentum builder, and once that momentum catches up with you, it's really, really, really hard to stop that momentum. Okay, so if you want to build that momentum for this next year, if you want to cut through the clutter, if you want to make it so your competition, especially all the newer people, have the toughest time competing with you, you're going to do it with content. Okay, reach out to us if we can help you. Hit up oncarrot.com /plans. If you're not a customer and you want to check out how we can help you do better content marketing as a real estate investor, we have plans that help you with that, training that help you with that, support and assistance that helps you with that. And we're going to be ramping that up even more in 2017 with some amazing, amazing content and inbound marketing tools. Check out the other episodes of the Carrot Cast.
If you've enjoyed this one, you're going to really, really love some of our past episodes with guys like Chris Clothier from Memphis Invest with running a $100 million a year real estate investment company and how they built that. Check it out at carrotcast.com. Or how we 10x'd our productivity. Okay, me and Adrian on our team, we do a full session on how we, the exact way that we 10x'd our own productivity and how you can do the same thing. Check them out at carrotcast.com. And also remember, subscribe to us on iTunes because, or wherever you listen to your podcasts at, because we release them about 2 weeks before we post them on our blog, on iTunes, on Google Play, on all those other ones, Stitcher. We release them there about 2 weeks early, so you can get ahead of the game, guys. It goes by 2 weeks. Just find us on iTunes, find us on Stitcher, find us on Google Play, and subscribe, and then give us a rating. If you're loving what we're doing, we love to hear that feedback. It charges us up so we know that we're doing is helping you and providing value. Guys, go out there and provide value to your market with content. Hit us up if you have questions, and go out there and crush it. We're here for you to help you make your greater difference. Bye-bye.